Good morning. We sung this morning, greatest is faithfulness. We sung about how we know that he gives victory. We sung about how we know how the story ends. We sung about his being the battle belonging to him. We sung just consistently again and again about how God is consistent and faithful and our deliverer and our provider. And this morning, I want to talk a little bit about how God is faithful and what that means to us as we sung it this morning. I think of, actually, in the example the Lord put on my heart is similar to what Troy was sharing in the sense that we just did communion. And if you remember the story where Peter is walking back from the upper room with the other disciples and with Jesus, and they're walking over to the Garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives, at the base of the Mount of Olives. So they're walking from the upper room where they had just celebrated sort of the first communion, as we think about it, a Passover Seder meal, and they began to go with Jesus over to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus has a conversation with them about that time, and he says, you know what? All of you are going to fall away real soon, real fast. You're going to deny me. And Peter, of course, pipes up in that conversation as they're walking. They just left communion. They're walking over to the Garden of Gethsemane. And Peter says, no, not me. Everyone else around here may, but even if everybody else does, I will not. And Jesus says, before a rooster crows three times, you're going to deny me. And of course, that's what happens. Peter does deny Jesus, knowing him, when Jesus gets crucified and arrested. And then later, of course, Jesus restores Peter. Because in that same passage, Jesus said, behold, I'm going ahead of you to Galilee. And then he said, but therefore some of you will deny me. And he's reminding them that he was headed to Galilee and that that's where they were to head after all of the things happened when Jesus died and resurrected. So they are found in Galilee, and it's at that place in Galilee that Peter and Jesus get back together. And Jesus reinstates Peter and walks along one by one with Peter, and says to Peter, Peter, do you love me? If you remember that story. And basically, Jesus restores him, knowing that Peter, he says, would be that the rock in which he built his church. And it was God's faithfulness and consistence to bring Peter through. And that what Peter had to learn over his life was that one of the big things was that he was a strong-willed person. He was a person who could say, hey, everybody else, they might deny you, but I won't, right? And he was depending upon his own strength, his own might, his own thoughts. And God, Jesus, was trying to say to him, even that will fail you, but I will never fail you, right? Jesus said to Peter. And later, Peter began to understand that his foundation, his strength, his entire ability to follow the Lord came from God's faithfulness in him and God's power through him. And Peter, of course, learns this and becomes the pillar of the church in Jerusalem, one of the founding members of the church in Jerusalem. And God uses him not only there, but across the Mediterranean. And we can remember Peter's story to think about how we can either depend on our own strength or we can depend upon God's faithfulness, knowing that God is faithful, even in the midst of our weakness, to take us where he says that he will lead us to. And so that's God's faithfulness, that he is faithful to himself and to his promises. And Peter's a perfect example of that, as somebody who, in all of his might and strength, wanted to do his best. But ultimately, God said, I'll get you there, and I'll be faithful, and I'll be consistent, but you got to learn to depend on me and not your own strength, because I will be faithful, even if you deny me, Peter. Right? God consistently is faithful in the midst of that time. And we think of that type of faithfulness. This time of year, we always look back to assess last year, and we think about kind of what went wrong, what went right. We think about that for others. We think about that for ourselves. We think about that for our church. What is it, maybe your business or what other things in your life? And we begin to say, okay, what can we do to set goals for this coming year? What can we do differently? What can we change? How can we move forward in new ways? And this is really a time where many of us sort of think about that. And so I want you to remember, though, in the midst of setting whatever goals or resolutions or ideas that you have about the coming year, is the Lord, to trust on the Lord to inspire you to set those goals, rather than just setting them in your own strength or setting them in your own power, and also to trust in the Lord to believe that he's faithful even in the midst of difficulty, hardship, or even your own weaknesses. He is faithful and consistent to take us where he wants us to be. And he wants us to learn to trust him. So my question to you, as you think about these goals for this coming year, is what is God asking you to pick up? What is God asking you to lay down? And how will you depend on himself, on him, rather more than yourself this year as you think about moving forward? How will we depend upon him? And not just it be words on a page like was said this morning, or a religious ritual that we do and we just sort of move through things, but instead it's the Lord living in us that we become just enamored with him and filled with him. So how, in the midst of our resolutions this year, do we trust the Lord for his faithfulness rather than depending upon our own strength, right? And that's something I really want us to all ask, as to how can we grow closer to him this year and depending upon his faithfulness rather than our own strength. So let's look at the word faithful as we move forward. But first I'll pray. God, I just ask you to give us wisdom this morning, to give us revelation. We depend upon you. We need you. We ask you to invade us, to guide us, to open our hearts and our minds, to bring revelation to us. We need you, Father God. We're dependent upon you. We're dependent upon you for our breaths, Father. We declare that we're dependent upon you for our salvation. We're dependent upon you for our righteousness. We're dependent upon you for purity. We're dependent upon you to even think right, to feel right, to act right. We give ourselves to you, Lord, this morning and throughout this year, and we invite you to have your way. Not our way, but your way. Have your way in our lives. Wreck us so that you can have your way, Father. Deliver us so that you can have your way. Heal us, strengthen us, forgive us. May you have your way. We invite you here this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's think about that word faithful. In English, if we look at that word faithful, I looked at the Merriam-Webster Dictionary just to get an idea of what it means. Steadfast in affection or allegiance. Another word for that would be loyal. Firm in adherence to promises or observance of duty. Given with strong assurance. So God is steadfast in his affection or allegiance to you this morning, to me this morning, to all of those who are bought by his blood, and to those whom he leaves the 99 sheep and goes after the one who doesn't know him yet. He's faithful to pursue us, right? We've studied that even in the last month. He is faithful to pursue us as we pursue him. You can be counting on that. He is consistent that there's not a way in which he goes, you know what, Peter, for example, you denied me, so game's over, right? He continued to pursue Peter and continued to accomplish his will and his promises for Peter as Peter turned to him, right? And even in places where Peter turned away from him, God's Spirit drew him back. God is also, it says, firm in adherence, if we think about it in English, to promises, his promises. Whatever promise God makes in Scripture or speaks to us through his written word here or his spoken word, whenever he speaks that, he will be faithful to his word. Now, we may not hear him perfectly sometimes, or we may not understand him, but he will always be faithful to his promises. There's never been a promise that God has made that he has broken. And so that is true for promises he makes personally to you and also promises he makes universally to all of us. God is faithful to his promises. He never, ever, ever breaks a promise, which is amazing because we can't do that, but he can in his faithfulness. Let's look at the Greek real quick. The word in Greek that we read in these verses that were read to us this morning, and I'll get to them in a minute, Psalm 33 and the other one in 1 Thessalonians 5, the word in Greek there in the 1 Thessalonians, which was originally written in Greek, is pistos, which means trustworthy. It's translated faithful in this situation and in many other situations in the New Testament, but and it's also translated trustworthy. This idea that we can trust God, that we can trust him, that he doesn't, like in the Greek gods of the day of Jesus and Paul and Peter, these were gods that were fickle. These were gods that might do one thing, change their mind to do another. Even today, Hindu gods or other types of gods that are worshipped across this earth might be overbearing or might just be out for themselves or might just be fickle in some way. But the God of the Bible is a God who is faithful and consistent and true. That he is never changing, the Bible says. From history, from the beginning of earth and before it, that he's never had an ending, he's never had a beginning, and he has always been consistent, faithful, and true. And so this idea that God is trustworthy is huge in the Greek. In the Hebrew, the Psalm 33 that was read this morning, which was originally written in Hebrew, the word for faithful there is emuna. And it's translated the same thing. Many times throughout the Old Testament, it's translated faithful or trustworthy. And in fact, this is the word where we get the word amen. It's a root of that. Amen is the root of it. And that means to agree, to sustain, to say yes. Yes, I support that, right? That's what God is saying to us, is that he is trustworthy and true, that we can trust in him and he doesn't change. He's saying amen in that sense in the Hebrew word. And the Bible reminds us, though, that God is faithful as a core part of his character. And so I want to look at that real quick today in Psalm 33 and in 1 Thessalonians 5, that not only is he faithful to his promises to us and faithful in all kinds of ways, but just in general, who he is faithful. It defines who he is. So let's look at Psalm 33. The verses that were read this morning, 3 and 4, and I'll go into 5 as well. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. Why? For the word of the Lord is upright, and all of his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the loving kindness of the Lord. The earth is full of the loving kindness of the Lord, and he is faithful in all that he does. And when you look at that's the NASB, which is a word-for-word translation. The NIV gives a little bit similar take, but I love what it says in verse 5. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. But verse 4 is actually the one I was going to highlight there. It says, for the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. Same thing that the NASB is saying, but in English it translates a little bit better there. And it says, for all of his work is done in faithfulness. Everything that he does, every action that he takes, everything that he is trying to produce an outcome is that he is faithful. He is true. He is consistent to his character. He never deviates. And his goal is to bring glory to himself and he's always to bring redemption and salvation and working for the good of those called according to his purpose. And so in the midst of the ups and downs of our life, God is faithful. And we encounter a difficult thing that we don't know how to get around, or we encounter a success. In both cases, God has given us strength and he's faithful. He's consistent. He's faithful. He's true. It says every single thing that he does is full of faithfulness, of consistency, of trustworthiness. And we can trust him in that. And in fact, when you look at Psalm 33 as a whole, which we won't do in detail this morning just for the sake of time, but you see that the passage, if you read it, and I just encourage you this morning, or this afternoon, to take some time and read the greater part of Psalm 33. Because it talks about how God looks from heaven, from his dwelling place in verse 14, he looks out. He fashions the hearts of them all. He understands all of their works. The king is not saved by a mighty army. The warrior, not by his strength. The horse is just a false hope for victory. It doesn't deliver anyone by his great strength. But behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope for his loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death, to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and shield, for our heart rejoices in him because we trust in his holy name. And it goes on to say, let your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us, according as we have hoped in you. Hoping in the Lord, you will not be disappointed. You will not be disappointed if you hope in the Lord. The world will disappoint you. I will disappoint you. People in this room will disappoint you. People out there in Bastrop will disappoint you. But the Lord will not disappoint you. You can't go wrong hoping in him. Why? Because he's faithful. There's never a moment where he shifts and becomes something different. He will be faithful. When I die, when you die, if Jesus doesn't return while we're still alive here and we experience physical death, he is faithful to get you to the other side if you have pressed a faith in him and trusted him to deliver you from death, to give you a new body so you will live forever with him in heaven and cleanse you of all unrighteousness so you can stand before the living King of the universe with confidence as he listens and talks to you as a son or a daughter. He is faithful to get you there. And he will be faithful to get you there, even through the most significant thing we think on earth, which is death. The biggest thing that was the weapon against God, we thought, Satan thought, right? The Bible says God came in form of human to conquer death. He is faithful and consistent to get us through that. He is faithful and consistent to get us through difficult times. He's faithful and consistent to take us from sin to righteousness. He's faithful to convict us and guide us from wrong to right. He's faithful to give us wisdom when we need wisdom for decisions. He's faithful to give us strength when we feel weak. He will consistently be with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us, Scripture says. And so Psalm 33, man, is an amazing reminder of that. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 real quickly. Flipping over to the New Testament, we just read a passage from the Old Testament about that. But let's look at the New Testament passage. My Bible's falling apart here. There we go. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete, without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he will bring it to pass. Just reminding us of this again. The NIV says the same one in verse 24. Similarly, the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. And when we look at that passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, really what's going on there is Paul is writing to the church in Thessalonica, and he's giving them sort of some core final instructions during this first letter that he writes to them. And he gives them a lot of different things. If you look in that passage right above it, my pages are sticking together. But he basically says, rejoice in the Lord. He says, don't quench the spirit. Don't despise prophetic utterances. In verse 20, we've talked about that in other sermons. But examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. He's given them all these instructions. And the God of peace will sanctify you, he says, so that your spirit, soul, and body will be preserved complete without blame at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is faithful, in verse 24. All of these things can be accomplished, and he can call them to it because God is faithful to help them do it. Right? And that's true for us today. God is faithful for each of you. For me, if there's something in your life that feels too big for you, that feels overwhelming, but yet you know the Lord wants you to do it, God is faithful to strengthen you for it. If you feel inadequate mentally, spiritually, physically, if you feel like you have sinned or done something too wrong, God is faithful to forgive you, to strengthen you, to provide for you. God is consistently faithful. He will not leave you or forsake you. The Bible reminds us that's its core. And you know what's great about that? There's so many things where we feel like, or even religion in general in the world, about how we can hold on to God. But what the Bible says is that God holds on to us. That's totally different. The Bible reminds us that while we cannot, even through the example of Peter, hold on to God as we would desire to, Peter willfully desired to hold on to God, but he denied him several days later, right? Actually, less than several days later. And after that declaration, but yet God said, it's not about your ability, Peter, but I will fill you and you will become a rock that I build the church in Jerusalem on. Your weakness will become strong because I am faithful, the Lord says. And that's true for all of us. No sin's too far, no weakness is too great. The Lord strengthens us because he is faithful. And that's great because we don't have to depend on whether we're faithful. The Bible says that even when we're not faithful, the Lord will be faithful to himself because he cannot deny himself. The Lord is faithful and consistent and true to you in the ups and downs of your life. We're reminded that in 1 Thessalonians. And let's look further at other stories, just to encourage you this morning as we think about these two verses this morning. Think about the story of Abraham. Because if you go all throughout the Bible, you get these stories. God said, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. And I will bless you and make you into a great nation. That's Genesis chapter 12, if you want to read that story. And what happens? Abraham obeys God. He leaves all that was familiar to him, all that seemed, you know, normal, and he turned and went to the way that God spoke to him. And God was faithful. God was faithful to bless Abraham and to build the nation of the Jewish people out of Abraham. Even when it seemed like it wasn't going to work, and even when Abraham sort of turned to other devices and got another woman pregnant, thinking that he was going to help God, God still accomplished his purposes in the way that God originally intended through Sarah. Right? In the midst of our weaknesses, yet Abraham was made strong by trusting in the Lord. And when he faltered, God bolstered him and directed him in the right pathway. If you falter, I promise you, if you lean to God, he will direct you into the right pathway. You can't go wrong trusting in God's faithfulness. Think about David, or let's talk about the Israelites who wandered through the wilderness, right? Now, a lot of people forget about this, but early on in the story, when they are faithfully brought out of Egypt as slaves, they were put into slavery. God brings them out of Egypt as slaves and sets them free, and they're wandering into the desert. He takes them across the Red Sea, and almost immediately, very, very soon, he takes them to the Promised Land. They don't wander for 40 years. God directly takes them to the Promised Land. But only a handful of them said, you know what? We're going to trust God's faithfulness. Others said, you know what? The Canaanites are too big for us. I know what God said about the promise, but I'm not going to trust that he's going to be faithful in the midst of obstacles. We shouldn't do this. It seems too big. It seems too much for us. We're just these people wandering out of Egypt. We can't take on these big people in Canaan, in the Promised Land. But it was God's Promised Land. And did God ultimately get them there? Yes. They wandered for 40 years, but he was faithful. Even to those who did trust in him, Caleb and Joshua and others, they saw the Promised Land. Moses, even in his weakness, saw with his eyes the Promised Land. Didn't get to enter it, but he saw it. And even the children of those who disobeyed and didn't go into Canaan, those children went into the Promised Land. And even those who disobeyed God, they wandered in the desert for 40 years, not starving, not being sick, but every time they were sick, God provided a way to heal them. When they faced curses and things and problems, when they needed food, God provided manna. God provided protection in the middle of a desert. He was constantly with them, being faithful to them and consistent, even when they deviated from his intended path. You can't break God's faithfulness, right? And if you think about the David and how he trusted God, and God said, you're going to be king. And even though it took years and years and years from the time that God pronounced him to be king and the time he became king, he trusted God in the ups and downs of it. And even when he was running around in the desert with a bunch of rabble-rousers and some of the lowlifes of Israel, God still took that ragtag group of guys to become David's mighty men and his next coming kingdom. You can't break God's faithfulness. When David sinned against God and decided that he would take another man's wife, and it seemed that all was wrong with David, God took that sin, didn't cause it, but he took it and redeemed it and brought David into repentance and rightness with him, and even redeemed the very child that was born out of sin. God is bigger than our sin. God is bigger than our inabilities, because why? He is faithful, right? You know, if you think about Esther and Daniel. Esther was this queen that trusted the Lord and shifted an entire powerful nation of Persia to stop them from killing all the Jews and saved all of the Jewish people for into the future. Daniel, who was rescued from the lion's den. Nehemiah, who was called to build a huge wall in a place that should have been torn down and was torn down. And Nehemiah saw something that was impossible as possible because God, he knew, would be faithful. And it says in Nehemiah that wall was built faster than anyone would have imagined in the midst of obstacles and people coming against them and speaking false truths over Nehemiah. God was faithful. So if you feel called to lead something and people speak evil of you, or they tell you you're not called to do that, or they tell you it's not going to happen, or the wall is too big, God is faithful. You have to know what is God saying to you in this new year and trust him for that, because if he has said it, he will not break it. Don't trust other people's words over the Lord's, please, in this coming year. If he says to you something he wants you to do, he means it and he will carry it out. If he's convicting you or leading you in some way, he will be faithful to follow through. If you feel weak, know that he is strong. But you think about Rahab, and even going into the New Testament to finish this to this morning, we think of the blind man who Jesus healed in the midst of this Feast of Booths, the big festival. Jesus went into town, into Jerusalem from Galilee, and they're having this big feast, and he heals this blind man, and that blind man goes from being a beggar all of his whole life and degraded by other people to being one of the first missionaries to proclaim Jesus to the priests and the rulers of his day. And they said, who is this guy? And he says, listen, I don't know all about all this theology you're talking about, but he healed me. I don't know. I don't have all the wisdom. I'm just a beggar, but now I've been made right because God is faithful. You think about Matthew and the Samaritan woman at the well, the Samaritan woman who was sitting there, had had multiple husbands, was going out during the middle of the day by herself to get water, probably because she was outcast, and yet God was faithful to show up into her life and then speak to her to be another missionary to the Samaritans. And they come to know Jesus through God being faithful to this woman at the well. When Jesus showed up and explained to her that he was the Messiah, and he showed himself to her. You think about Matthew, who was this sellout to the Roman government, trying to make money, probably stealing from his fellow Jews so that he could make money for himself, and yet he ends up becoming a core disciple, apostle of Jesus, redeemed by God, sent all the way to India to be one of the first missionary, probably, or one of them, to India, and even wrote one of the books of the Bible. Why? Because God is faithful. And Matthew's tax-collecting past didn't overcome God's faithfulness when Jesus stepped into Matthew's life and said, come and follow me. And Matthew said, I don't understand it. I don't deserve it. I don't have the strength for it. I've sold about everything out that you stand for, but I will follow you and trust you to get me where you say I should go because you're faithful. These are all stories of God's faithfulness from the beginning to the end. And we go back to Peter. Remember self-reliance, Peter? Self-reliant, who thought he could do everything and he would make everything happen, and then he ends up denying God. And yet, Jesus comes back to him at the Sea of Galilee after his death and resurrection and says, Peter, feed my sheep. And reinstates him and says, Peter, you're going to be the rock that I build the church on here in Jerusalem. And Peter becomes a proclaimer of God's goodness and his good news, not only to the Jews, but he actually gets a vision of how God wants to actually reach out to the whole world and branch out to the Gentiles, which we can be thankful for, right? Most of us here in this room are Gentiles. Because why? Peter was ultimately perfectly faithful. No, God was perfectly faithful, and he accomplished his purposes to fulfill Old Testament prophecy that the Messiah would proclaim the good news to not just Jews, but to Gentiles through Peter, who became a rock but was once a denier, because God is faithful. So as you think about that story, you can trust him to do what he says. God will be faithful to his promises. Remember this as you pursue spiritual growth this year. Remember this as we discuss and pursue our core values and practices as a church. We're going to begin those probably next week, it looks like. Our leadership's going to discuss it one more time this week, but we'll probably start with the first one next week, going through those sermons and kind of talking through each of those things and what they look like scripturally. As we think about growing individually and as a congregation unto seeking the Lord, putting him first, letting go of that which holds us back, and pressing in, you can trust the Lord to be faithful. There's a lot of things we can trust in this life. A lot of things we can put our trust in. And we could say, I'm going to put my trust in how long I look at my phone each day or what the news says. Or we can trust in government. Or we can trust in a personality. Or we can trust in money. Or we can trust in fame. Or we can trust in power. Or we can trust in a great job. Or our good boss. Or whatever it might be. We can trust in our spouse. And those are all not necessarily bad things. But God is telling us that he is the rock of our salvation, and he will be faithful, and we can trust him above all those things, and therefore we need to put him first, and he will align everything else up in our life in accordance with his will. Why? Because we're perfect? No, because he is faithful, and he will consistently deliver what he tells us he will do, which is to lead us into sanctification and lead us into righteousness and to save us from sin and to turn us towards him. You can't go wrong trusting in him. He tells us in the New Testament that he takes all things and works them for the good of those called according to his purpose. So if you've submitted to Jesus and you have embraced his forgiveness and asked him to be Lord of your life, he will work all things for the good of those who are called according to his purpose, which is you. If you haven't, then guess what? Right now, this year, don't wait another hour or minute. Trust him. Because I promise you, he will not fail you. Even when you can't see, when you're weak, you feel tired, even in the moment of your death, when you have no power, he will not fail you. I can tell you no greater one, no greater being, no greater thing to trust in than God, the creator of the universe. So God, we thank you that you are faithful this morning. That great is your faithfulness. We thank you, Father, that the battle belongs to you. We thank you, Lord, that you are true and holy, and that no lie can break down us, nothing can tear down us, because you are faithful, and you will lead us unto your plans for us as a group, here as a church, and as individuals, Father. May it be, Lord, where those of us who feel weak this morning, make us strong and lead us into your righteousness. Those of us who feel happy and joyful this morning, may we feel strong in your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.